Several years ago, I went on a spiritual retreat to Christ in the Desert Monastery near Abiquiu. There I met a monk who in a previous life had won the grand prize on the game show Jeopardy, Tournament of Champions. Now, I had never met a Jeopardy champion, much less a monk who claimed to be one. But I soon learned he did not tell me of his past triumphs just to brag. Actually, he shared with me his new mission in life. He wanted to get on another game show called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Why? Because Christ in the Desert Monastery at that time had a $1 million building debt. He wanted to pay off the monastery's indebtedness with his winnings. I was intrigued. But then he told me the special challenge that he faced preparing. He knew history and science and literature and music, all the stuff he had learned as a graduate of Yale University and then a Rhodes Scholar. But what he did not know at all was contemporary pop culture. You know, questions like, how did Britney Spears learn to dance? Or what was Justin Bieber's first big hit? He had found a website where he could practice on such heady questions as, where is Taylor Swift's next concert? But he told me what was actually harder for him than all the stuff he learned at the university was pop culture. Why? Because he did not care about pop culture. And maybe that explains why he had become a monk at a monastery devoted to recreating the High Middle Ages. Then he popped this question to me unexpectedly. Will you pray for me that I can learn pop culture so I can win $1 million from my monastery? Now, people have asked me to pray on all sorts of circumstances, at meals, beside hospital beds, at grave sites, housewarmings, before football games even. But never have I been asked to pray for a better grasp of the lives of Britney Spears, Justin Bieber, and Taylor Swift. It has not happened. I hardly knew what to say. I think I mumbled something like, well, that seems like a worthy use of your immense talents. I'm not sure if I was being serious or not. But he took it as a yes, and we took our seats at the table, always in silence, eating a meal at the monastery. I'm not making this up. Now, I don't know if he ever got on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or if he won anything. I don't even remember exactly praying for him and his research into the lives of people he didn't care a whit about in order to succeed in something he did care about. But all this did raise important questions for me about what I pray for. And if I pray believing that God hears my prayer, and even more especially, if God answers them. In truth, that remarkable encounter raised all sorts of questions about my personal faith, my private prayer life, and my convictions about God's activity in the world. Suppose I had prayed fervently for my monk friend to grasp all the intricacies of pop culture. And suppose he had gotten on the game and the $1 million question turned out to be, in what city was Breaking Bad filmed? Would I have, in that high moment of drama, prayed fervently, oh God, put the word Albuquerque in his head? What if he had gotten it right and we had all started jumping up and down with glee? Would then I, in the cool of the day, have said to myself, well, God must have given him that answer. And so I turned to the text in Luke 17. Here is what it says. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord replied, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, go, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So which of these two statements seems more improbable to you? To say, increase my faith so I can learn pop culture so I can get my seminary, my monastery out of debt, or pray, increase my faith like a mustard seed so that this mulberry tree will be uprooted and planted in the sea. Which seems more improbable to you? Increase my faith, O Lord. That's the request of the apostles. And in the context of Luke's gospel, it follows the command of Jesus to forgive someone who has sinned against you seven times in one day. Clearly, Jesus has asked of his disciples something very difficult. To forgive someone countless times as God has forgiven you countless times. It is at that point the disciples plead to Jesus, increase our faith. In other words, this is a very hard challenge you have placed before us. We will need great faith to act toward others as God has acted toward us. This is when Jesus, in effect, says this. It is not about how much faith you have, but the quality of your faith. Even a tiny amount of faith can make a profound difference in the world. Even uprooting and transplanting trees? Surely there is much hyperbole here, but we get the point. Matthew's similar account says that mustard seed faith can, in his words, move mountains. Then Matthew adds for emphasis, if we missed it, with God, nothing is impossible. One of the most stunning statements in the New Testament. A faith as tiny as a mustard seed can alter the course of the world. That is an astonishing promise and a breathtaking claim. Sort of like a monk trusting God to increase his knowledge of pop culture to help a financially strapped monastery. On the surface, friends in Christ, doesn't this all sound goofy? Really? So have you ever faced what you considered impossible odds? A financial burden that was utterly crushing? An illness or a condition that simply would not go away? A relationship so dead it appeared headed to the morgue? A broken government that cannot keep the lights on? A substance abuse problem that has spiraled out of control. The specter of death hanging over the lives of people you love. There are times when that which is in the world seems to have gotten the upper hand over us. Impossible odds, indeed. And at those times, how have you prayed? Lord, increase my faith. And exactly, what would that prayer mean? Lord, help me to trust you even as the world I inhabit falls down all around me. Or would it mean, Lord, I trust you to intervene in this darkness because you have promised that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness never overcomes it. Do you pray, Lord, make wars cease to the ends of the earth, wars at home and wars abroad? Does just a mustard seed amount of faith lift our spirits when nothing else can? I really hope so. So here's the question for Jesus' disciples and for us. When Jesus asks us to bear the good news into a world that is often indifferent and sometimes even hostile, do we trust that the Lord is with us, even to the ends of the age? As disciples of Jesus, we often have little more than mustard seed faith, so small that if you look for it, you could barely see it in your hand. So fearful, you imagine that it is retreating in full gallop. And yet, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what Jesus has to work with. Mustard seeds, tiny, almost imperceptible, cautious, unsure, struggling with doubt, and yet so powerful, even those tiny hints of faith. The heart that hopes against hope that God is with us nevertheless. The heart that feebly struggles to trust that God is anywhere active in the world despite all the evidence to the contrary. Often, tiny, minuscule faith is all Jesus has to work with. It's not about quantity. It's about the power of God to transform something that is so weak into something that is so powerful. It's God hearing the prayers of the disciples when they said to Jesus almost desperately, increase our faith. Even when they admit, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And trusting God can take our trembling, unsteady faith and transform it into something lovely and winsome and convincing. So, dear friends in Christ, you, with whatever faith is in your hearts, there are some things I would like you to pray for today. No, not asking that I get better at pop culture for $1 million, no. But I ask you to pray for some things just as improbable, and trusting that God hears our prayers and answers them in His mercy and in His wisdom, here are the things I would like you to pray for. I pray that God will send exactly the right person to be the pastor of this congregation. And for some of you, soon and very soon. I pray that generous hearts will approach our stewardship season. I ask you that you pray that we can somehow reach out to younger families with children and youth and fill this place up with laughing, giggling hearts. I ask that you pray for our elders and our deacons and those who will be elected, that they will serve this church with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. And finally, I ask that you pray that we never lose heart and are always courageous and hopeful in our life together in Christ, especially in these very unsettling times. So, brothers and sisters, what are we afraid of? I invite you to take the leap. And if you can't take the leap, just put your toe in the water for just to dive in eventually and to trust that God is really with you. And in the good times and in the bad times, in the light and in the darkness, you are never alone. As the psalmist says so beautifully, be still and know that I am God. And keep praying earnestly, all of us, increase our faith. So friends in Christ, have a little faith. That's all you really need. Mustard seed faith. It's amazing what God can do with so little. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.